This episode of Fermented Adventure the Podcast is sponsored by Brewskits, handcrafted dog treats made from spent beer grains, oats, barley, and rye. No chemical preservatives, a great source of fiber, and packed with protein. Visit brewskits.com to see the full selection of treats for your dog and your cat. Receive 15% off, no minimum purchase, on your first order by typing in lowercase FA2024 at checkout. Cheers! Hello, ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Shane, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you have chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings, and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guests. We're here at Bottled. He's Andrew Huerta. He's Drew Perry. I'm Rich Shane. Dawn Ranieri's here. And this is Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Drew and Andrew, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Drew, Andrew, how did all this get started?
The idea came about really during COVID. I was running Philadelphia Distilling at the time, and as you know, the state stores, the PLCB, closed their stores for 12 weeks. So our number one customer for Blue Coat American Dry Gin was all out of business, basically, all of a sudden. So we quickly pivoted to DTC, direct-to-consumer. And because there was no other place to buy spirits in Pennsylvania for those 12 weeks, except in-state distillers, we had huge success. So we were one of the few people that was hiring through COVID, hiring bartenders and other people that had lost their job to fill the demand of people driving up to the distillery in Fishtown, sending UPS packages, and then eventually we added delivery. So the idea came out of that experience where we did tremendous business selling direct to consumers without the distributor, without stores. And I saw that as a business opportunity.
So you had this direct to consumer idea, but Bottled is a unique business for Pennsylvania. So talk about the challenges and what the focus and goal is as far as what Bottled is doing today.
Bottled's mission really is to bring a more adventurous, wider, deeper selection of spirits available to PA consumers and the on-premise, the bars and restaurants. The state obviously is highly restrictive in terms of brands that they accept to get listed in the state stores. They're confined a bit by their bricks and mortar stores, which makes perfect sense. And in my opinion, they haven't recognized the explosion of craft. So when I started Philadelphia Distilling, there was less than 50 distilleries in America. And now we have 2,500. And that's really happened around the world, except that the LCB is sort of restrictive in the sense that emerging great brands have a very difficult time getting their product in the state. So what happens is Pennsylvania consumers often drive to Delaware and New Jersey and over the border, wherever they live, to shop for more unique spirits, different sizes, and so forth. And, you know, this has been an existing condition for years and years. We call it border bleed, right? Pennsylvania consumers taking their dollars and spending them in New Jersey and Delaware and so forth. So I saw an opportunity to bring these great spirits, curate basically is what we're doing. So we're tasting spirits. We're looking for unique brands that have traction. Many of them are distributed in 10, 20, 30 states, some export countries, but they just can't get into the LCB. And so by partnering with them, and really, it's a true partnership in the sense that we finish the manufacturing process. We don't do any fermentation or mashes, no distillation, but we do filtering, blending, bottling, And under the Pennsylvania law, that constitutes manufacturing. And once a product is quote unquote manufactured here in Pennsylvania, we're granted a lot of great liberties. Number one being that we can sell direct to the consumer without a distributor, without the PLCB involvement.
Talk about some of those early conversations you had with some of these partners when you introduced this to them and the idea where you made it more approachable to get into this state.
I think our first responses were a lot of skepticism, obviously. But, you know, we pointed out that there's a long history of other partners bottling spirits for the biggest brands in the world. We know Tanqueray is not all bottled in the UK, right? Actually, the Tanqueray that we drink in America is bottled in Baltimore. And so when you sort of point that out to these craft distillers, even though they're not accustomed to it and it's their baby and they're very nervous about it, we gave them the trust based on our experience and really the technology that's available for them to feel assured that we're going to treat their product perfectly and we're going to get it in their bottle without any issues. So there was convincing. And we got an email today from a great distiller who's been around 15 years, what I would call one of the pioneering class of craft that we want to bring into Pennsylvania. They're not here, but they're nervous. They're nervous about their product going out the door without being in a sealed bottle. We must bottle, we must purchase the spirits in a bulk form. So typically that's in a barrel or a tote or a drum. And then we put it in their packaging, obviously with a bit changes to the label that indicates that we are the bottler here. So for the most part, we're a bottler, and that's the name of the company, and that's what we're trying to be 100% transparent about. Like, we aren't the creators of these, but we are sort of their manufacturing partner. We're definitely their distributor. We're definitely their marketer. And we sell it to everyone from, you know, Jim and Joe that walk into the store and taste to on-premise beverage sommeliers, you know, people that manage beverage programs throughout the state.
Brewskits, beer, grain, dog bones, brewskits, your dog will go wild, brewskits. Beer, grain, dog bones, a healthy alternative for your pup.
Brewskits are all natural and made in the USA. Visit brewskit.com. That's brewskit.com.
So, from my understanding, can you sell now direct to bars? Can they purchase from you?
Yeah, we have a team of on-premise reps. You know, one guy focused in Center City. Two guys focused in central Pennsylvania, and then we have a few guys out in the Pittsburgh area. So we are heavily pushing that side of our business now.
See, that's exciting because as a consumer, as I understood it, you have two other locations and this location in King of Prussia is new, correct?
Correct.
And you have other, I think, probably other anticipations or other goals to open up in other places. With that in mind, how many more locations, brick and mortar or freestanding buildings or stores can you open under this license that you have?
We can open 6 stores in the state of Pennsylvania.
6 stores.
We're limited by that. Our license allows us to have essentially 5 tasting rooms that are not at the distillery and then 1 at the distillery. So in essence, we are capped by those laws, and quite honestly, we're comfortable with those 6 being a way for us to sample people and for trial. These are craft brands. These are unique spirits. So they don't have a mass audience necessarily. Some of our products do, quite honestly, but most don't. So it's a discovery process. And as far as I know, we are the only quote unquote, you know, privately owned liquor store in the state of Pennsylvania. We're the only liquor store that I know of in the country where you can walk in every single day and try 5 different spirits for free. Every single day you can come in, you know, Tuesday, taste 5 different gins, come back Wednesday. We're only allowed to sample you 5.5 ounces. But other than that, the whole liquor store is, there's a bottle open for you to try. And we want people to discover these spirits. And, you know, part of our marketing message to the distilleries that we represent is getting liquor to lips. You know, if you have a great spirit, if people try it, that's a big selling factor. And so that's what we experience in the store. People walk in the door, they try something, they try 3 things, they love 1, they go home and, you know, they're happy because they weren't sold anything, they chose something. All of the spirits that we sell and, you know, bottle and sell we think are of great quality, but we're also very democratic about it. Why don't you taste it against some others and then, you know, pick what you like.
And now, as we started to venture out into, I can go to a bar and I can say, well, I've heard of this brand. I haven't had it. I tried to go to my state store. They wouldn't carry it or couldn't carry it. And now you have provided that bar with that option to say, you can now carry my favorite brand or my new favorite brand. And it allows those bartenders, I think, more of an opportunity to be creative, to be unique, to stand out, especially in the environment that we have in Pennsylvania. So what has the feedback so far been from those bars or establishments that do have bars in their restaurants?
Yeah, the on-premise has been, you know, tremendous feedback, but to side note a little bit, you know, our best on-premise accounts are these PA breweries. You know, PA breweries are limited to only being allowed to buy PA spirits. We are giving them tequila, Fernets, a whole list of categories that they never had access to. So, like, that's the easiest account to walk into, and you know, we've had great success with that.
So you brought that point. I had not even thought about that, because in PA, you can only sell a PA product.
Yep.
Now, you're providing them with a PA product, and that explodes their palate to what they can create.
Yeah, it really helps.
That's huge.
It really helps their cocktail menu, right? So they can have an Armagnac, a Calvados. You know, we have gin from Finland as you know, Mexican rum, Mexican tequila. Because we do that, and they essentially become PA products after we finish the manufacturing process, you know, that gives them a lot of variety. And to your point, even aside from the sort of PA licensed only businesses, just your general bar restaurant now has more options. They can distinguish themselves from the bar that's right next door to them by carrying spirits that we carry that they couldn't get at the state store. So you can make yourself, just as if you were a sommelier, you can make your wine list a lot more interesting now, because we have, you know, 30 different partners that distill and ferment and make great spirits from around the world. And by the way, you know, we're adding to that all the time. Every week, our goal is to have another distillery, three or four items from that distillery really represent what they do. I think another really breakthrough thing for us is that, you know, we're a bit focused on underrepresented distillers, female distillers, Black-owned distilleries, eco-conscious distilleries. I believe firmly that the younger consumer cares about where their product is made, how it's made, who makes it. And we communicate those stories, you know, through our website, but in particular, our sales specialists in the retail stores. They can tell you the backstory. They can tell you where the grains are come from. You know, this Colorado distillery only uses this corn and this rye from this region. That's interesting. And representing companies and upstart distillers that wouldn't have that opportunity, it gives me great pride as someone who was helpful getting the craft distilling movement moving in America.
Andrew, you're an entrepreneur. You're a startup guy. And how does this compare to start? I mean, it's a different time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're talking about starting a distillery versus a manufacturer in a way. How does this compare or contrast with starting Blue Coat Gin and that experience for you?
It's, well, wildly different for me, of course, because I have 20 years of experience and knowing the industry and having seen it grow. One of the reasons that I started this business is that I was skeptical about starting another distillery. By the time I sold Philadelphia Distilling, there was over 100 distilleries in Pennsylvania. It's very difficult to start. You no longer have that sort of, you know, when we started in 05, we were the local gin from New York to DC. There was no one else. Now there's, you know, 30 gins made in Pennsylvania, say five of them are great. It's a lot harder. Right, a lot harder to get your product moving. So the market has grown a lot and matured, and you know, for me, it made sense to find a new angle and bring new spirits. And what I saw as the opening is Pennsylvania consumers. You know, why are they spending hundreds of million dollars in other states? Why don't they get to try these other spirits? You know, they have no say in really what's carried in the state store. And I don't put down the LCB. I understand their model, and they're a huge quote unquote corporation. And I'm not sure if it was run privately, it would be any different. they're just confinements when you're so big and you really need to carry truckloads of Jack Daniels and Jim Beam and so forth. But as we all know, there's a very long tail in consumers, meaning there's a lot of people that want something different or unique or a single barrel or a particular grain. And we have that bandwidth to sort of cover that and look for opportunities that are much smaller than the LCB would even consider from brands that don't have millions of dollars in marketing or don't have a celebrity behind it. But if they have a great story and it's great whiskey or great gin or vodka, there's a place for it. How big that is, we don't know. This is a brand new company. I mean, I still call it a baby company. We're still calling it, you know, 16 months old. If you're still using the months term, it's a baby, right? So by the end of this year, we'll have a toddler, you know. But so far, the reaction's been great. Consumers get it. They're excited to have other opportunities. They're very excited to try spirits. And so it's quite honestly, many customers are frustrated by the limited offering. So they feel as a fresh breath air, like, wow, this is great. I get to try stuff. I get to buy stuff. I get to support small businesses that I really want to. And that's not just bottled, but the distilleries behind us. Many of them are, you know, not huge companies. So far, so good.
Pardon the interruption. Thank you so much for listening to Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Could you do us a favor? Hit that follow button. It makes it easier for others to find us, and it helps us climb in the rankings. Take a screenshot of the podcast, post it, tag us, and let everyone know that you listen to the Fermented Adventure podcast. Now, back to our podcast. You mentioned COVID and our experience as consumers and people that appreciate spirits. And we've gotten accustomed to looking at the social media to see what, you know, we follow some of these distillers, we follow some of these spirit companies, and there are two barriers. Number one, yes, we cannot get it in the state of Pennsylvania, and we have to go out somewhere else and hope that they have it. Right. But the other thing too is, yes, it can be shipped to me, but the cost of just getting that bottle, in some cases, just, I think, closes the door for me actually wanting to buy the bottle. And now what you've done is you've made this also affordable and accessible to me as a consumer, which, again, even becomes more exciting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the fact that we are allowed to deliver direct to your door, this is a big convenience, right? And for our site, if you spend $75, which is generally two bottles, we ship it to your door for free. We do have our own drivers on occasion when it's super busy, but most Pennsylvanians never got to experience that sort of e-commerce end of alcohol, right? In New Jersey, they had Drizzly for years and other services that would bring it to your door. Really, in Pennsylvania, it doesn't exist. So we're trying to make it a simple process, not only for the average consumer to access these products, and no matter where they live in Pennsylvania, right? UPS delivers everywhere, overnight, basically. So you get overnight for free, great spirits. And, you know, convenience is something that's really important to today's consumer. So we're trying to bring that element. And I would say, conversely, the same thing goes for the on-premise. You know, when they want unique spirits through the LCB, there's a special liquor order process. It takes a bit, and it's a little bit cumbersome, quite frankly. Everybody would tell you that. Probably the LCB would admit to that. You know, ours is, you go on a website, you click, click. We usually give the on-premise their discount code so they know if they're buying this many bottles. You know, point and click, pay for it, and it ships and shows up the next day. Like, couldn't be easier. They don't have to send someone to a store to go pick it up. So really easy and a low bar in terms of, hey, what if we just want to try two bottles and this interesting cocktail this weekend at this cool bar? What happens is that cocktail takes off. By Monday, they're like, we need two more bottles. Well, we can get it to you the next day, you know, where the LCB process takes much longer. So we're trying to bring like a real streamlined, techie friendly, delivery friendly experience for consumers. And so far they've been reacting really positively.
Well, point of fact too, that I can't go into my local state store and try something in that bottle before I buy it to determine whether I like it. I can do that if I come to one of your on-premise stores with bottles.
Yeah, and our events. You know, we're big as you know, we ran into you at one of our events. We're big Another luxury that we have as an in-state distiller is this exposition permit. So we can show up at street fairs and where there's gatherings of people and really get liquor to lips, get people to try, and then they can buy, you know, direct. So it's simple to kind of close the loop of like trying something new, buying something, going home with a bottle. And, you know, if you love it, you can come back to us for it.
So Drew, you're the operations manager here. Talk about what you do here and the focus of how you're helping to grow Bottled as well.
My job is coordinate with the distilleries once we come upon an agreement to get the product to our door, make sure all the packaging components are within that shipment, and then figure out how we're going to package it. 99% of the time, it's an easy packaging routine through the line, but we have had some, you know, more labor-intensive brands, like that Absinthe bottle we were talking downstairs. You know, it was a difficult label, and it had a wax dip, you know, so it took a... two extra days to do it. Once we have our product package, it's also my responsibility to make sure the shipments go out the door via UPS or the inventory is then transferred to our retail stores.
You know, you just mentioned something I wouldn't have thought of, but when you're providing that bottle to the consumer, that's all part of their branding. And if that bottle is found somewhere else and it's wax dipped, I believe they're expecting it to be wax dipped and sold in the same fashion through what Bottled is doing as well.
Yeah, we are doing the best we possibly can to make sure the package we provide matches theirs outside of bottle by bottle on the back label.
So how does it work here? I mean, we'll talk about like the tote comes in or the barrel comes in, and then what happens?
Tote comes in. You know, first thing we do immediately to make sure we're all in the right... we're safe with our purchase. We taste it. We test the proof to make sure it is the proof we purchased at. we go through all the packaging components, make sure nothing's missing. We have the right count. And then we prepare for packaging. You know, whether that's we have to filter it, we have to blend it, we have to add something to the product, or we just have to proof it down a little bit. You know, so typically we'll proof it down the day prior, run it with some of our agitators, make sure it's well blended. We'll let it rest and we'll package the next day.
Now, I see quite a few cases and boxes of distilleries. I recognize Kiru is one of them. Catoctin Creek is there. But I see names here that I'm not familiar with that are new to me, like Pigeon Foot. And you've got a line that you're doing with the Philadelphia Eagles, Bird Gang.
Yep.
Talk about these original or origination brands. How would you characterize them?
Part of our model is to be an incubator and to create brands in spirit categories that are really taking off, right? And, you know, Pigeon Foot is a sourced whiskey. We bottle single barrels of it, bring it down to 90 proof, both bourbon and rye. This is a six-year-old. We don't distill, we don't age, we don't do any of that part of it, but... There's an opportunity because we have these stores and we're already out there marketing for us to sort of dabble in the brand development game as well. It's very difficult, but because we're doing so much along with it, it's starting to show some, you know, potential. And those brands, as we get traction here in Pennsylvania, we will begin wholesaling them to through the normal three-tier system in New Jersey and Delaware and the surrounding states. So it's a bottle creates an opportunity for brands like ourselves, the ones that we've created, and or other brands to try something. It's a really contained market. We can control it. So oftentimes we're looking from our distilling partners for something unique. You know, you don't come to us for the most boring basic vodka. You come to us for a sweet potato vodka. Like really interesting, totally different. And so that's part of our thing, you know, is looking for opportunities, creating some of our own brands. Most of our business, though, is completely focused on partnering with other great distillers and just bringing their spirits to market. Fortunately, we partnered with the Philadelphia Eagles to commemorate different historical moments in Eagles history. And it's just another way of fan engagement. You know, the Eagles are partners with us, so it's a way for them to engage with their fans, have commemorative bottles, limited edition things. And so far, you know, it's been really well received. Great gift for an Eagles fan. You know, affordable, high quality spirit.
I think that there's also a sense of fun here. There really is.
So.
Look, it's serious business. you said you're buying the juice, the spirit. You got to bottle it. You got to do all those things. But you're creating a fun atmosphere to where that consumer identifies with your brand and is looking forward to that what's next. Right now, you're releasing tequila. That's new. Talk about that.
Well, we have Saltamontes Tequila out. That's a brand that we've created. And we're hoping to extend the Bird Gang brand to add a tequila for the summer and maybe some other limited edition spirits throughout the season. Again, always tied to Eagles history or things that the current Eagles are doing. As you may know, the first game for the Eagles this year is going to be played in Brazil. So we're looking at maybe bringing a limited edition Brazilian cachaça or rum to market just for the short period of time. Again, to honoring that major moment where the Eagles are first time playing internationally, and it's a major NFL moment. So, within the Bird Gang, it's about fan engagement and commemoration and limited edition. It's not an everyday thing, even though the juice is really and the spirits are affordable and at a price to the point where you can drink them every day or at least on game day.
See, like I said, it's fun. I mean, you're connecting this game that, oh yes, it's a game. It's the first time internationally in Brazil, as you talked about, but now more of a commemorative thing. Oh yeah, and I got this bottle because this was the first game played. Now, how do you go about, or what's the process for sourcing, let's say, like a tequila or a cachaça, something of that that's outside of the purview of, let's say, some of your larger distillers out there that you can source from?
Well, I'm relatively new to the distilling world. You know, I come from 18 years of running breweries, but, you know, I've quickly learned that a lot of brands out there in the world, just like our Pigeon Foot, all comes from source liquid. You know, there's big distilleries in Indiana and Kentucky that make beautiful bourbons that people are using for their source brands. And there's distilleries around the world that do that for every liquor category, you know, including the tequila we carry, including the Brazilian rum we're looking into. You know, there's these mass distilleries and there's these importers all over the country that are just bringing this liquid in bulk, and they're making it easier and easier for us distillers in the States to bring that in and work with.
I just like to hang out with you on tasting day so you can determine which is the one you want to carry and put in your bottle. That must be fun.
It is. We take the tasting very seriously. We're fortunate enough now that we've gotten some traction and distilleries on their own are sending us spirits. Usually, Drew and I are out calling and curating and sort of nagging the distillers that we have a lot of respect for to partner with us. But conversely, now we're getting spirits sent to us, unsolicited. It's a difficult choice, but we know what we're carrying now, and we know that if we don't have great spirits, we won't make it, quite honestly. It's almost like we have to be great buyers, because we buy the spirit ahead of time, right? We buy the toad or the drum or the whiskey, and it's really on us. It's almost like a micro investment in these other distilleries. If we don't sell their product kind of quickly and at a certain retail price, we're going to lose money, and we're just going to have a warehouse full of spirits that aren't good. So the tasting is fun, but the decision of, you know, does this spirit hold up to a $55 price point? Does this package, does this brand story, is it going to be compelling to the customer that walks in the door? If you don't really check all those boxes for us, we pass. You know, we're trying to be really careful about what we bring in. So while the LCB is very selective, we are also, because you just can't carry anything. People want great value. They want that story. And honestly, packaging is part of that. You know, we don't deny the marketing part of it. A beautiful bottle helps sell. I know that from my Blue Coat days. The blue bottle got a lot of first customers. And then they drank it and they're like, this is a fantastic gin. But, you know, you needed that to get it home first. Yeah, we're looking and curating and searching the world for those spirits that really make a difference and also add to our portfolio. We're just not going to add another bourbon that tastes the same as what we have. We love the partners we have. We want to be with them long term. My expectation is that, you know, one or two or three are going to really take off, and we're going to be their partner in Pennsylvania, and we'll recoup some of our investments that way.
Based on what you just said, if you're one of those smaller distilleries, you really want to get in. I mean, you're 16 months old. It's still kind of the ground floor here.
Yeah.
But you want to get that foothold before, as you said, hey, we can't carry every brand. because you just wash out the inventory where it becomes, I would think, confusing to the customer, right?
And there's just no return on investment if it's a similar product we already have, right? That we're just splitting our sales and carrying more inventory. We have a lot of money invested in, you know, finished goods and in process goods. So you know, there's a formula we're trying to figure out of how fast we need to turn over the inventory. And in some cases, we'll start now with just 50 gallons of a spirit. Now that gives us about 250 bottles. It gives us an opportunity to get it in the store, do some marketing, do some events. And what I've learned very quickly is that, you know, the first 100 people, they're going to tell you what, if this, you know, if they like it or not. And if they don't really like it, you can wait around for years and you're not going to find enough following. Conversely, we get a new product in, and newness and freshness is part of our thing. We encourage our customers to come back to the store every few weeks. Yes, order online. Yes, take care of the convenience. But once in a while, pop in the store and try the 5 or 6 new spirits we have, because you might find them fantastic or you might not. But either way, it's free. You try it and you move on. Buying is and tasting, it's definitely a lot of fun, and we get to do it. And I tasted some right before this.
It's true.
So if I'm slurring, you know why. We had a couple sips before. But, and, you know, we don't also claim that we're the judges of all judges or the tasters of all tasters, but we know what's in our portfolio and we're looking for gaps and, you know, interesting things that would expand the offering. That we feel we can do. And I'm fair judges being in the booze business, both of us, you know, 20 years each, of what is high quality and what's not. So.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I mean, although I think you're humble to say we don't know everything. But you both have very well seasoned palates. You know what you're looking for. You know what you're tasting. You know what your consumer is looking for. And the one thing is, I think it's different, not the same thing that you can continue to find. Where for you, Drew? I mean, you come from a beer background, but I'm sure there's always been spirits sitting somewhere on the bar close by. Is that something you have had a love of?
Yeah, professionally, or? You know, it's all been all beer. You know, I grew up in a wine household. You know, and still Sunday night dinner is a gathering of really nice bottles of wine that my father thankfully pays for. You know, during the beer days of my life, you know, I had whiskey at my home. You know, I got bored of beer. And still to this day, I'm still learning about spirits, still tasting more spirits. And I think we've gotten better at putting more palate-enhanced retail specialists in our stores. Like, we recently added a guy that has a palate that I think is very different than ours, and he can really find some unique flavors. And Ted, who's our head of sales, you know, he recently came from a Tennessee whiskey company and Breakthrough Beverage. So he has, I would say he's tasted more spirits than Andrew and I combined.
Yeah.
So, like, the more we surround ourselves with better palates and smart people, you know, the more we're going to learn as well.
Yeah. The panel helps, you know, having 5 or 6 people that really have different... They come from different places and different experiences. At least we can usually decide, yes, we want to pursue this brand, or no, you know, no, we don't. And again, it doesn't mean the spirit isn't great. Just if it's not unique enough and stand out, add to our offering, then we don't really need it, right? We don't really want to carry a product that tastes exactly like Jack Daniel's, because as a consumer, I'll just go get Jack. It's good. It's good. You know what you're getting, you know. So we're looking for variations of even something like a small category like Tennessee whiskey. What would we bring to that conversation? So
that part of the conversation, I think for Dawn and I, and we've had this conversation before, yes, those larger distillers, they have those products that are consistent every time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get off the trail and you go to some of these smaller distilleries, like – where Catoctin Creek is, it's a little town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've grown over the last 10 years in recognition, but there's still people that don't recognize the name and don't know their product. And when they try it, they experience it for the first time. I think for a lot of people, they're like, where has this been? I've been drinking Jack Daniel's and I've been drinking Jim Beam. And again, those brands have lasted the test of time. And they serve that specific purpose for different reasons. And they're very strong, good bourbon Tennessee whiskey brands.
Mm-hmm.
But Then you find some of the things that craft distillers are doing with grains that are within a mile away from their distillery, with flavor profiles that are unlike anything that you'll have. So it, to me, it's about bringing those brands in. And I think that's what becomes exciting here, mm-hmm. that you're educating your consumer and you're bringing in something that they can say, hey, by the way, did you try this? Because I just had a little taste at Bottled and I picked up a bottle. You guys come on over, or I'm going to get you a bottle because I know you'd appreciate this because it's different and it's craft and it's quality. And that's what I think one of the things that you really helped to solidify in this market and that place that fills in the gaps of what's been missing.
For sure. Our tagline is distinction, discovery, and then delivery, right? So distinctive, unique spirits, discovery, because most people don't know these brands, but you get, you know, taste it, you appreciate it. We tell you the backstory, where it's from, what still it was made on. In that case, obviously, Catoctin Creek, led by a female distiller, one of the best whiskey makers in the country. Most people don't know that story, but when they hear it, they like it. You know, they want to support people like that. And Catoctin is also a great example of, you know, they're in 40, 45 states, but they're not in Pennsylvania and they're right here in Virginia. It would make sense they naturally would be if we didn't have our system that we do have in place. But fortunately, we partnered with them, and Scott and Becky have been great supporters and friends for years now, and are happy to see us fulfilling the consumer demand in Pennsylvania that they already had.
I'm curious, as you, it's quiet here, maybe you're doing some bottling, and you talk about the future of Bottled. What does that look like?
For me, it looks like 6 stores. It looks like over 500 SKUs. It looks like more partnerships with trademarks and brands like the Eagles. This, maybe Tesla wants another tequila. Maybe, you know, Tasty Cake wants to release a coffee espresso. Who knows? But we're looking for partnerships of existing trademarks and IP that want to get into the spirit space and test out that idea. You know, from corporate gifts all the way to, obviously, Bird Gang, which will be a long-term relationship with the Eagles, really bringing some life and some fun to, as you said, to the games and to the tailgate. So we see a lot of growth potential, but mostly we're focusing on what are those 500 SKUs? You know, where do we need to be deep? What's most interesting? Keeping ourselves very flexible and nimble to see what comes about. We have great laws as an in-state distiller, and we're trying to maximize them, you know, to the consumer's benefit, obviously.
This has been a treat. This really has. I feel like, and I stand here and I feel like I'm getting a masterclass in this spirits world as to how you can collaborate and bring people together to share people's hard work. And I know this is hard work for the both of you too. Mm-hmm. And the people you're bringing on board, everybody's rolling up their sleeves every day. But this has been a treat, and thank you for that. Is there anything we haven't talked about today on the podcast? Anything you want our listeners to know more about you or Bottled that we haven't touched upon?
I would say that this is an experiment. This is a new business. It's not a successful business yet in the sense that we're not making money. So if you appreciate great spirits and or you really love some of our brands, you know, this is a humble ask. Support us so that we can continue on this pursuit, perfecting what we think we're trying to do is, you know, keep this wide and interesting offering. Because without the consumer support, we'd just go away. You know, it was a nice, great idea, but we're really trying to start a great business. And I think we'll become sustainable in the next few years, but that's going to be up to the consumer. You know, we have to buy great stuff, make it available to them, make it an easy transaction, make them, you know, appreciate what we're doing. And then in the end of the day, if they do and shop at our stores or online, then we'll exist and always have that other alternative to the PA Fine Wine and Good Spirits.
Well, I'm going to say, Andrew, I mean, you already have had, you've taken the arrows, you know, you've gone out there before a lot of people in the industry, and if I'm putting down money and I'm betting Bottled is going to be a household name for a lot of people when they're looking for something that's a little bit different, a little unique, something distinguished, as you pointed out. And I hadn't even thought about the idea of, like, you know, let's do some sort of tasty cake, you know, something, or you know, like Wawa is not too far. They already have collaborated with 2SP.
Yep.
So there's certainly a good opportunity where Wawa can start putting a bourbon out.
There's no doubt about
right?
it.
Right, Wawa, hello.
Yeah, there. Well, that's part of our interest. We think that, you know, both from a brand extension standpoint and just being fun, it doesn't always have to come from a Hollywood celebrity, right? There can be some Pennsylvania brands that might want to do a one-off, you know, and or try something different. What's wrong with a, you know, a chocolate liqueur from Hershey's? What's wrong with an espresso martini from Wawa using their coffee, or Dunkin' Donuts for that example? So that's part of our business model, obviously. But also, I guess I would ask consumers or listeners to your podcast, you know, if they know of great brands that they think we should check out and, you know, get on their website and get samples, send it our way. We're just, you know, a couple guys trying to find and reading and catching up with, but there are so many now distilleries, both in America and around the world, that we need to get in touch with, particularly if they're making high quality stuff that people want.
All right. You heard it.
Send us an email.
Yeah.
info@bottled.com, BOTLD.com. We'll take it seriously, look it up, and, you know, just get samples sent to us. Usually we can get to that point. And then hopefully convince those distillers that this is an opportunity, a sales and marketing opportunity that they can make money at from day one and potentially grow a lot of new customers.
Andrew and Drew, thanks for your time today.
This is
like, I can't wait for the big grand opening tomorrow as this airs. We've already had the big grand opening, but thanks for being a friend of Fermented Adventure. And we look forward to all the great stuff that Bottled has in store for us. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.